Satyricon. The Fellini Satyricon is a new film by the director of La Dolce Vita, La Strada, 8 1/2, and Juliet of the Spirits. The film is an adaptation of the Satyricon written by Petronius during Nero's reign in Rome, and it opened on Wednesday, March 11th. After a recent screening of the Satyricon for a college audience at the Lincoln Center Library, Fellini appeared and answered questions for about 40 minutes. Most of the questions were about the film, how he cast the leads, how he achieved certain effects, and simply what did certain things mean. He was also asked about youth and politics, two areas he enjoys talking about. Although the entire press conference was taped, the questions had to be retaped as most of them were inaudible. We now present Federico Fellini talking about his new film, The Satyricon. This is Milton Hoffman.
How are you? Good? Well, I have a little bit problem with language, so I need of an interpreter, and Professor De Cori will try to make my answer a little bit more intelligent. Are you ready to make my answer?
Yes.
So, let's talk a little bit. Do you have some question to ask to me?
How did you cast the film, especially the smaller roles? How did you find the right people with the right faces?
But you know, casting is... May I sit down? Do you mind if I sit? Casting is a very important thing for me because it is just the first real moment in which I start to see in face the picture. You know? I start just to see how are the real possibility to materialize my phantom, my fantasy. So I need to see a lot of people just to try to understand who between all of thousand people that I see, really to understand which one of them have really something to do with my picture. So for that reason, the moment of casting is the most exciting and also the most heavy, because I have to choose. I am obliged to choose, and to choose is always something of very painful, because if you choose one thing, you have to leave another one, and so you are full of pain to leave something. But I am obliged to choose anyway. Casting is really the first step inside of the heart, cuore,
cuore,
of the heart of the picture. Are you satisfied?
Yes.
Thank you.
Why did you pick an American actor for the lead? Weren't Mae West and Groucho Marx being considered for parts in the film?
Well, concerning the first question, you know, I've chosen an American actor just because the face that I liked was the face of an American actor, and was the face of an American boy. I saw Hiram Keller's face on a photo, I think, on the magazine Playboy it was, because he was, in that moment, he was acting in a musical called Hair, and I've seen this wolf face of so alive, animalesque, but in a very elegant way. So I decided that that kind of face was good. So I tried to reach him, and I knew that I've known that he was an American boy, so he came, and I chose him just because I thought that he was right for the part. It gave me that feeling that the character I thought that needed this combination of sensuality, elegance, like a big cat, an elegance of a big cat, and also a face who has very ancient and very modern at the same time. Well, I've chosen him just because I liked him. For what is concerning Mae West and Groucho Marx, you know, at the beginning of a picture, I really don't know exactly what the picture will be, what the picture is asking by me. Is correct?
Yeah, what the picture requires of me.
What the picture requires by me. So I go like a blind, you know. I go like I work like a blind, just hoping that something that I like very much can be good. There is a coincidence between what I like in a private way and what the picture needs. So I like my West, I like Groucho Marx very much, so I hoped very much that they have something to do with my picture. But going on and becoming a little less blind, starting to see better what the picture will be, what the picture requires for me, I unfortunately was obliged to recognize that my West, she had nothing to do with my picture. and also Groucho Marx. And I hoped in the next one to have them, because, you know, they are just myths of my youths. And, you know, every one of us is conditioned from what he has discovered when he was young, you know. So my first impact with movies, some years ago, was just seeing this marvel of clowns, like my West is and the Groucho Marx. And I have this infantine desire to have the chance to put them in some one of my pictures.
You have a scene in this movie of three men stealing the hermaphrodite, which is almost identical to the three men stealing the statue in La Dolce Vita. Would you tell me if this is supposed to be something so important that it symbolizes the distinction between pagan and post-Christian?
Well, I mean, I have not done that just because I wanted in New York a movie's amateur made to me a question like that. You know, I have not done it with that particularly will. Concerning the repetition that an author sometimes make in his own work, that is just the testifying of his personality, you know. We cannot go without stay with ourselves. We are just developing, but we are always the same guy when we were 12 years ago, 12 years old, and when we were 25. And you know, it is something that has to do with your why, with your life. For the second question, because I think there is nothing to do between the first one and the second one, between the analogy of a pre-Christian time and our time, I think that not in a very schematic way, but I feel that there is an analogy in the sense that in that time, certain myths, certain protection, ideological, philosophical, religious, they were at the end. It's a picture about the end of a certain kind to, not only of a society, but a certain kind to be human creature. And indeed, a new myth came, Christ came, and he was so strongly not understandable from the pagan. Like today, we have the feeling that the young generation is not understand for us. I mean, the analogy is between that kind of feeling that today, people of my generation, as the feeling that we are at the end of certain way to be a human creature, and that we need a big changement is going on, a big changement, not only referring from a social point of view, not only to try to change the government or the society, but just to try to change our individual relationship with life. So it is just a big change that is going on, in the same way that in that time a big change came when Christ arrived. That is the analogy. I'm sorry to speak in such a pitiful way.
I want to ask two questions. I am wondering why you chose two English boys for the homosexual roles, and why not two Italian boys?
Because in Italy we have not homosexuals. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No. I mean, the answer is a little bit like I've given to the other gentleman when he asked to me about Hiram Keller. No, I went in London mind just to choose the leading actor, just because I thought that for a story like that, to don't run the danger to be obscene, to be misunderstood. I need to find two or three very good-looking boy, very well built, very seductive, but not in a heavy way, not in a material, animalesque way. Otherwise, the story can become too much heavy, a little bit disgusting. I needed to find two good-looking boys that in the same moment they have to be so elegant, so detached from sex, that this sex story just means love, not sex. So I thought, maybe in a wrong way, but I don't think so, that the British, just for the education, a psychological education that they have always had, to be detached from things, not to identify themselves too much with feeling, with sentimental, with they may be looked more detached from themselves. And for that reason I went in London and I've chosen Martin Potter and the boy who plays the role of Gitone, Max Born, just because they look asexual. Especially the young boy, I mean Gitone. He looks to me like a very mysterious presence. He can be a male, can be a female, can be a flower, can be a lamb, can be a fish, can be anything. And that is the reason why I have chosen this kind of.
The second question was, what is your attitude toward the youth of today?
Well, I am full of envy because I would like very much to be free like them show to us that they are. I am full of respect because I think that they are trying to show to us what is a real revolution, a very sweet revolution and a very deep one. I feel full of hope for them. Because really, I hope that they win. They will show to everybody how it is possible to change and to try to find new dignity in your human being. I am with them anyway. I like them very much.
After a long question, which was not clear to Fellini or the interpreter, the question is asked again. The question is whether you would comment as to why Asiltis was preferred to Gitone.
Why Asiltis was preferred by Gitone? Just because.
Perché Asilto è stato preferito a Gitone,
sì.
A Gitone, perché lei lo lascia, dice che nel film rimane mentre l'altro va via.
Why lei lo lascia stare? That Asilto stay in the picture, sì. A bit more and Gitone goes away.
Sì.
What qualities is personality?
Well, you know, Gitone is not a real character. Gitone is just a desire, is just a feeling, is just a metaphysical present. So he really does not need to be in the picture because he is always in the picture, meaning something for which Asiltos and especially Encolpion they are looking for. Gitone maybe is at the end just the young boy. I don't know if the subtitle has translated at the end these voices, that voice who say that they arrive in an island and a young Greek came to them and the story is interrupted. I mean, Gitone could be also this young Greek, no? So Gitone really don't need to be. And if Gitone lives much more in terms that he's not him, just because it is just an idea, it is just a metaphysical need, a metaphysical necessity, if I remember.
Mr. Fellini, you have two very intricate sequences as far as photography is concerned. One is the sequence that ends in the earthquake, and then the Minotaur sequence. How long did it take you to film those two sequences?
Well, the earthquake taken a little bit more time of what we previewed because of the first moment, and the thing was technically prepared. And when things are technically prepared, they never go. So that big building was prepared in any corner to ruin it, and a lot of technicians, a lot of workers with a lot of bottom. And I say to them, when I say one, this kind of wall has to go down, and so one man has to pass the bottom one. When I say 12, the 12 bottom. So everybody was very, very excited, and a lot of people from the other studio came to see the big. And everybody was a little bit, you know, everybody feel like child, you know, because that was just a disaster, and we like disaster anyway. So, and me too was a little bit, I tried to appear very calm, like a good general, and so I say, ready, big silence, say, one, nothing happened. So I say, 12, nothing happened. Perché il cemento aveva fatto presa, come si dice?
The cement had become very tight and held.
And so we were obliged to do it the day after, and also the day after again. So it took 3 days. The Minotaur sequence, I don't remember very well, but I had problem with, in that sequence, I had problem with light, because I don't know if you remember, there is a big lamp supposed to be the sun. So to try to have this kind of effect of whiteness, of sun, where you don't care no more to listen?
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
No problem with that sequence, no problem. Just some light problem, but everything was all right.
How did you shoot with the camera when you trailed in the Minotaur sequence, when the boy is going through the different tunnels?
Ah.
Vuole sapere dove stavano i camera?
Well, the camera, they were exactly where they had to be. Exactly there, not on me anymore.
When the young people explored the sensual, they seemed very innocent. When the older people were attempting to explore the sensual life, it seemed very decadent. Where does one make that change from youth to adulthood, from innocence to decadency?
Sì, scusami, ma cosa hai detto?
Dice che certe persone da giovani diventano decadenti, certe persone da vecchi diventano giovani. Come lei ha fatto, come è riuscito a fare questa transizione?
Ma nel film?
Nel film, sì.
Non mica ho capito bene la questione.
Could you repeat the question, please?
No, are you talking in a technical way, or are you talking in an emotional way?
In life? What you think, I'd like to know.
When I think that there is a passage between
the transition
from
giovane a decadenza.
And available and the decadence.
Where do we lose our innocence?
La decadenza dei vecchi appare,
yes.
La decadenza dei giovani rimane innocente. Quando è che perdiamo la
in a general way, I can only say when I lose my innocence, because I think that one talking always in a very rhetorical way, you know, I think that one lose his innocence when he start to appear to live in a less authentic way. I think that one can be innocent until the end of his life if he is always himself, if he always developed himself in a complete way, if he lives just his destiny and his vocation with freedom. I think that innocent is just to be themselves, is just to believe there is no division between good and bad, that there is no division, I mean moralistic division. But that is too long, and after all, I don't know exactly because I am still innocent, so I don't know when I...
Exactly why do you have actors looking into the camera?
That is a good question. It's I wanted to give to the audience a certain kind of disease, like they feel, like they realize that this kind of humanity really was taken without they know. And they were surprised that the camera 2,000 years ago was just shooting them, you know. And you know, it is a little bit, a little trick in a certain sense. But I wanted to do it just because that kind of feeling that the story that we are talking about is really happening, and this kind of division that is not only between them and us, but also between us, is always very, very real. We really are divided, always. And sometimes, if we look each other, we have a feeling really to don't know, and we have the feeling to have been looked from a foreign, but very deeply foreign, human creature. Sorry to be so poetic, but I was obliged to answer.
What is your next picture going to be about?
Well, it is a little bit too early to talk about it now, because I'm just preparing and writing. I'm still very involved with this period that we are living. I mean, and I think that my next project has to do with young people and with what they try to do and what they try to show. You know.
What was the significance of the suicides in the film?
Well, that is a sequence that was not in the novel, in the original novel of Petronius. And standing at what Tacitus, who is another Roman historian, a writer, standing at what he said, Petronius can be identified from with a man, very intelligent, very elegant. Indeed, he was called arbiter elegantiarum, that means judge of style, who lived during the Rome Nero's empire. And standing always at Tacitus' referment, he says that this man, Petronio Arbiter, cadde in disgrazia, come si dice?
Fell into disgrace,
and he, with the emperor, and he preferred to commit suicide in a very sweet way. He called some friend of him, some women. He prepared a very nice dinner in the garden, and he cut his way. And it was a very slow approachment to the death, and a very slow goodbye to the life. And drops of blood come out in the grass, and he's on the hearth, and he was talking and kidding. He don't want to read serious thing, but just jokes. All the friends has to say to him jokes. And after a certain moment, he closed his vein. He eat again, he drink it, you know, it's a long suicide, etc. And I was so touched from that way to say, to live the life, that I want to make an homage to this, to Petronio, and I have invented the sequence of the two aristocratic patricians that they prefer to suicide instead to submit as the new emperor, and instead to make a compromise, a political compromise. They are idealistic. They are two idealistic characters.
Where did you film the picture?
The picture has been all done in studios. It is completely invented. I have just the ocean, the sea at the end sequence is a real sea, because I have not succeed with the production to convince them to bring the sea in the studio. So it was too much. So.
Another questioner asked why he had chosen these boys for the male leads. He had already answered the question twice.
Well, I said that before to this gentleman, just because you look at me beautiful and detached and sensual and elegant, you know? It's just because it's very difficult to say exactly why, you know. You have to do everything in a very scientific way, but after all you have to jump in the thing, you have to do, you have to feel emotionally.
posso fare una domanda io?
Sì, prego, please.
In talking about the film, you implied that there were many direct connections between the society decaying in Satyricon and the society decaying now. But in Satyricon, you seem to portray decadence without political substance of any kind.
Well, I'm not agree because we see young emperor killed, a new emperor arriving. We see political condition. We see the power of the richness, the power of the ignorance. We see the oppression.
There are political acts, but not much political cause and effect.
There are many ways to be involved with politics things, you know. That is my way, it is an emotional way.
For example, Bertolucci and others.
But they are Marxist. They are really strongly Marxist. I'm not, so.
Do you have political convictions?
Well, yes, I understand what you mean. I understand. Well, I am political in the term, I am conditioned, barned indignato, you see.
Indignant.
Yes, I'm indignant or conditioned by political intent that political can become a danger for the human freedom. I'm not political in the sense to be involved and to, you know, anyone has a certain limitation. We have to. That is my way to live. That is my way to express myself. I cannot pretend also to have as a feeling. Or I say that like a limit. You know, I think that anyone has to do things concerning his particular temperament, his particular way to be. You know? Anyway, I think that Satyricon also has a certain political aspect, very, 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 very strong also. And maybe it's not expressed in a very precise term, in historical and social terms. They are expressed in another way.
Did you write the dialogue?
Well, some dialogue has been taken directly from Petronius Arbiter Satyricon. And most part of the dialogue is written by myself and another co-writer, Zapponi.
Have you written most of your other films?
Yes, I've written all my pictures. I was a screenplay writer before to be a movies director, so I still go on with this same.
How much did it cost you to make this movie? Grimaldi, the producer, says that it costs a little less than $4 million.
How much? Quanto è costato la produzione?
Well, I really don't understand, but there is Mr. Grimaldi, who is my producer. He can answer. No, he can answer with much more knowledge. You know, I think that is a very cheap picture, but maybe it's a different idea. Quanto è costato veramente, Luigi? He still doesn't know, because the picture is always growing up with expense.
How much is it in euros?
In lire? He's trying to make it.
It's less than $4 million.
WBAI New York.
We have to say that cost very much, you know, we are obliged to say it costs very much, because it is full of United people, United Artists people here. Yes?
I don't understand your interrupted ending. Is that related to some sexual evolution from young homosexual to older heterosexual?
Forse non capisce quella fine così repentina. L'omosessuale diventa eterosessuale, c'è qualche trasformazione per cui lei fa fermare.
No, but that is not a picture about homosexuality in a technical way, in a technical way. It's, I have to be a little bit faithful at the novel of Petronius. That was a novel talking just about love between homosexuals. So I can change. I can make Gitone like a good, beautiful woman. So I like it also just because to I think that it is time to undramatize sex and to see. Sex without
racial
prejudice, you know, it's in that picture, for that reason I try to choose actors who don't appear too much heavy in a sensual way, just because in that picture, this is not a picture about homosexuality, this picture about love. Love in the most free and open terms of the world. That's all.
A repeat of the question. Why did you have the interrupted ending?
You mean at the end?
That
it was done for two reasons. The first one, I mean, the most superficial, is just because I have ho seguito in tutto il film l'intento.
I follow through the movie.
Yes, I follow all the movie. Yes, I want to say. It is done purposely because just I want to show that what we are looking, it's just fragments. It's not a story who starts, develops, and ends. We just look at them like it was reperti storici, come dice.
Historical findings.
Yeah, like it was, like they were a historical finding, you know, just little piece of society, of human being, of costume, habits. So I think that it was good to interrupt without exactly say that it is just an entire building. Second one, because I think that if the picture gives to the audience a certain kind of tension, that has to be just a tension, not just an intellectual explanation. So when the speaker, when Encolpion, the narratage, which narrative that is made from Encolpion, is talking that in this island, leaving the dead body of the poet, leaving that country, accepting to go together with young people in a little ship, he finally arrived in an island where a Greek came and said to him, I want to cut, because we have to find each one personally, individually, what that Greek has said. I didn't want that was good for everybody. Just to try to understand, but what that Greek will hell say to Encolpio? What we have to find it.
I read somewhere that you got to collaborate on a film with Ingmar Bergman. Is that correct?
Yes, that was a project that I loved very much, but it has been disintegrated for some reason that I still don't know. You know, the producer has changed his mind and finish. Yes.
Why is there so much more violence in this film than in your other films?
Because in that time was a violent time, and today we are again in a violent time. You know, because violence is always in the atmosphere around us. And particularly in that time, violence was a very strong component of human being. Yes, lady.
I want to know if it is possible to describe what drew you to the Satyricon.
You know, it was, for me, it was always really very difficult to be precise because I am not very much interested to know what really decide to me the choice instead of another, no? And trying to answer to your question, first of all, because I've signed a contract, and so I have to be, I have to do the picture. But that maybe it is only a little funny answer. The second one is because I liked always Petronius. I mean, his way to look at life is detached and at the same time involved eye, his judgment and his complicity to be out and to be in. This ambiguity of this great writer have always give to me the feeling of a certain congeniality. And also because that was the first book that to us Italian give a real suspicion of what ancient Roman could be. You know, we Italians, we were obliged always to think at Roman in terms of archaeological, historical, religious, rhetorical dimension, Cecil B. DeMille picture. You know, we have always seen Romans in a very strange way. We saw the Roman were the all emperors, you know, a crowd of emperors, or a crowd of slaves. So Petronius has written a book who is very realistic. He's just talking about small people, and I always liked it. So when I decide to make a movies that give to me the possibility to don't be too much lied with our life, I mean with the daily life of today, and to express myself in a more unconscious way, with more free of fantasy, I have said maybe that is the good chance, and I've chosen that book also because it permitted to me to be very free. I am not paralyzed from the respect to be faithful, because it's a book from which we have only some fragments. It is a very, very short fragment, so I can recreate anything I want.
In this film, were you trying to evoke any specific emotional response from your viewer, either through technique or spectacle?
Well, you know, a creative person, any kind of storyteller, any kind of artist who tries to express himself, try to communicate and try to do exactly what he thinks that his creation needs, asks, requires to him to be incarnated, to be materialized, you know. I cannot answer why exactly I've done it, why I've chosen that color, why I've chosen that face. It looked to me that that picture required to me to be done in that way. And I had the feeling to be directed from the picture, not to direct the picture. That anyway, it is my way, in a psychological sense, that is my way to create, to be in things. To be.
Mr. Fellini, I'm sorry, but we have to move along.
Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
You have just heard Federico Fellini at a press conference at the Lincoln Center Library. This meeting with college students and professors from the New York metropolitan area took place after a screening of his new film, The Fellini Satyricon. The director of La Dolce Vita, La Strada, 8 and a Half, and Juliet of the Spirits has now dealt with the account of Rome during the era of Nero offered by Petronius in his work, The Satyricon. This apocalyptic film deals with decadence, sexuality, and the destruction of society. It opened on Wednesday, March 11th. This is Milton Hoffman.